You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 24. And it says, "And he went with them, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge or an issue of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. For she said, 'If I even touch his garment, I will be made well.' Immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt her body was healed of the disease." Verse 30. "And Jesus, perceiving the healing had gone out from him, immediately turned around to the crowd and said, 'Who touched me?' His disciples said to him, 'See this crowd pressing in all around you, yet you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease.'" I came to tell you this morning, the peacemakers bless God. And an invitation of sons and daughters to live in his presence, to live in his peace, is how God blesses you. The title of this message is Blessable, Part 7, The Peacemakers. Let's pray. So Father, I thank you that your presence is here. Lord, I thank you that you told me people are being delivered today. So Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would speak. I pray that you would heal, you would deliver. Lord, we thank you for your word. We declare that your word's infallible, your word's true, and every man's a liar. We declare that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, I declare right now that your spirit would breathe upon your word, your logos written word would become alive. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds understand what your spirit is saying. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. Every other spirit you must leave because the Holy Spirit is here ruling and reigning. So Lord, I declare right now, nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Teach us how to be peacemakers. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. We're in this series called Blessable. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless his holy name." So many times we're trying to figure out how to get God or how to manipulate God to bless us. So if I give a certain amount of money, he's a Holy Ghost slot machine and he'll bless me. Or if I do these things or say these things, then I can get God to bless me. And I've heard so many believers over the course of my life talk about and try to figure out, how do I get God to bless me? And I want to let you know that you have it entirely wrong from the beginning. It's not about God blessing you. It's about you blessing God. And when you bless God, you become blessable. And it's amazing because the Beatitudes teach us what God blesses. And when you live according to these Beatitudes, when these are characteristics of your life, you automatically are blessable. In part one, we learn the poor in spirit bless God. And the kingdom and the culture of heaven is how God blesses you. In part two, those that mourn bless God. And the comfort of his Holy Spirit is how God blesses you. In part three, the meek bless God. And rest in peace is how God blesses you. In part four, righteousness blesses God. And the fullness of his presence is how God blesses you. In part five, we learn mercy blesses God. And when God shows his mercy is how he blesses you. In part six, we learn the pure of heart bless God. And seeing him and knowing him fully is how God blesses you. And all these messages are on our YouTube and podcast. Today, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And it says this, I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That word peace in the Greek is the word eirene, which means to join together or to tie together to create a wholeness. Or it's a gift of wholeness from God. Peace is God's gift of wholeness. And without wholeness, you will never, without peace, you will never be whole. There will always be something that is missing from your life without the peace of God. It doesn't matter how much money you have, something will be missing that you couldn't buy. It doesn't matter how many relationships that you have, something will be missing that a person cannot provide. It doesn't matter how successful you are in life, there'll be something in the depths of your soul that is missing. It doesn't matter how popular you are on social media or how many followers you have or how many people like and comment on your posts. It doesn't matter how many people say good things, there will be something missing in your soul without the peace of God. And so many people spend years trying to find what will give them peace to always come up still missing. Scripture says this, that God blesses us and with it he adds no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. If you go to Israel with me, we're going this May. And two people won the serve team member of the year. I think it was Kaz and Josh. And because they were the serve team member of the year, we're bringing them to Israel for free with us. It's going to be an awesome, awesome. So thank you for serving. We wanted to bless all of our serve team members. And so if you come to Israel with Kaz, Josh, and I, you'll hear people say shalom. Everywhere you go, they'll say shalom. And what they are saying is peace unto you. Or that you become a carrier of God's peace or a carrier of God's justice. You carry it wherever you go. Do you know there's over 429 scriptures that speak to peace in the Bible? I'm gonna give you some that stood out to me as I was preparing this message. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Do you know there is a perfect peace that could only come from God? This perfect peace cannot be stolen from you. This perfect peace will not leave you no matter what you're going through. This perfect peace stands the trials in life. This perfect peace makes you whole. Isaiah 9:6 calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. In Ephesians 6:15, it's the full armor of God. And in the full armor of God, when you get all the way down to your feet, it is the boots of peace or readiness that carry the gospel of peace. Every single day, my children and I, when we're driving to school, we put on the full armor of God together. My grandma used to do it with me when she took us to school in the morning. And every single day, we put it on and we declare that we are walking in the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his peace goes with us wherever we go. Not only is peace part of the full armor of God, but it's also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, or the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, say it with me, peace. I love this, Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that when you have the peace of God, nothing can take it from you, even though it doesn't make sense. It means even if there is a sickness in your family, you got peace about it. Even if there is tragedy that happens in life, you got peace about it. Even if America is crumbling around you, you still got peace in your soul. It doesn't matter what happens in life, you have his peace and it doesn't make sense. Why do you have peace? Because peace fights on your behalf. Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Do you know peace is one of the greatest weapons of spiritual warfare you have? Woo! The enemy comes after you and you just hold your peace. 1 Corinthians 14:13 says this, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Do you know wherever there's confusion, it displays the Holy Spirit is not present. You hear this all the time when the enemy comes in and starts attacking, when witchcraft is involved, when the enemy starts manipulating and tries to attack God's people, all of a sudden they get confused. They weren't confused before, they just had a conversation with somebody, but then they had a conversation with somebody and now they're confused. Where'd that confusion come from? The enemy. You hear this all the time with people and their identity. They're confused about their identity. They're confused about their gender. See, here's the thing, is whenever there's confusion involved, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the enemy of the Holy Spirit. And what God's word says is that he is the author of peace. So here's what you do, practical advice. Whenever you feel confused or wherever you feel like there is not peace, you invite the Holy Spirit with his peace into the situation. Whenever you feel attacked and your peace is gone, you invite the Holy Spirit in. In Heather and I's earlier days of marriage, besides on social media this week, we would get in these intense arguments. Anyone else? Just me. No one else has a type A wife? No one else? Just me? I'm the only one in the room? Okay? So. We'd get in these arguments, and all of a sudden, it would be like, rah, da, 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 you know, and we're going back and forth, and all of a sudden, it'd be like, rah, da, 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 da. And that was Heather growling, not me. And all of a sudden, we would realize the peace was gone. And we're like, whoa, 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 this doesn't make sense. This is over laundry. Like, this doesn't make sense. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If this doesn't make sense, it's spiritual. And we're like, we love each other. Why are we acting like this? And we would invite the Holy Spirit into our situation, into the moment, into the room to bring his peace with him. I love this, Romans 5, 16, 20. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Peace crushes the plans of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. It's important to understand this, that peace is your resting place. It is your home. It's your permanent state of dwelling. It's not a place you visit. You don't live in a hostile state of confusion and warfare all the time, and then you run to church on Sunday just to get some peace. You have your daily encounter every day. You dwell in his peace, and you take his peace with you on Sunday to the presence of God with other people that are living in peace together. This is not something that we just visit. This is what we dwell in. See, peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of Jesus in those conflicts and challenges. What is a peacemaker? Peacemaker has the absence of all wickedness that gives him the power to make peace. Let me simplify this. Peacemakers bring healing and wholeness to everyone they encounter. Peacemakers bring healing and wholeness to all they encounter. Peacemakers live in peace with all men. They prevent lawsuits. They prevent hostilities in families and neighbors. They promote peace in one another. They delight in peace. They keep peace that is broken, and they recover it when it's lost. They use their influence to reconcile opposing parties. They contend for the healing hearts of their brothers, their sisters, and their neighborhoods. It's amazing to me, or interesting to me, that we make what is not our business our business, and the things that are our business, we don't make our business. That we put our nose in other people's business, yet when it is our business to bring peace and to be peacemakers, we're like, oh, we don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved unless it's me stirring up things. Watch how this works. We are called to be peacemakers. So how do you become a peacemaker? You always bring Jesus' peace into every situation that you're in. Here's what we need to understand today. The peacemakers bless God. This whole series is about what blesses God. When you bring peace, when you make peace, when you are a peacemaker, you are a blessing to God. This morning I want to talk about three imitations to peacemaking. Three things that try to imitate peacemakers. And the first one, number one, is peacekeepers. There's a great difference between peacemaking and peacekeeping. Peacemakers are not pushovers. Peacekeepers are afraid of conflict, so they bow to intimidation to settle for temporary relief instead of true long-term peace. Peacekeepers settle for pretend peace. You see this all the time in family members. They're like, hey, the holidays are coming up, so let's just make peace. That's pretend. Can I pastor you for a second? We do the same thing with race. If a riot pops up, you care. But what happens 5 months later? When a troublemaker put it on your feed. No. Do you care then? No. Peacemakers care when other people don't care. Peacekeepers only care when it's a nuisance to them. So I have to say something to keep the peace, or everybody else will think I'm a racist. But really in my heart, there's no desire to be a peacemaker. See, peacekeepers just try to keep everybody at bay around the holiday table until someone throws a grenade. And everybody's just around pins and needles. Because don't say anything to upset him. Don't say anything to say, not Uncle Jimmy. Don't say anything to bother him. And don't bring this up. Just keep the peace. I hate to break it to you. That's not peace. That's your temporary withholding and being on the best behavior you can to accommodate the lack of peace that you're not willing to make. So there's a great difference between peacemaking and peacekeeping. See, you can never have true peace without repentance. See, when people don't want to have the hard conversations that take time to hear one another out and hear each other's heart and find out where I grieved you and you grieved me and that's not what I meant and what I meant was this and no. I said that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. But this is what I was trying to convey. And you take the time to make true peace. You'll always know when it's a peacekeeper and not a peacemaker when no one repents. Where there's repentance, you will find true peace. Peacekeepers are passive aggressive. Peacekeepers are afraid of people. Peacekeepers are more concerned about what men's feelings are rather than what God's feelings are. So you go into the holidays worrying about what everybody thinks rather than what God thinks about the disunity in your family. So you never come from a kingdom perspective. You always come from a flesh perspective. They're more concerned about temporary relief than true peace. The second imitation of peacemakers are troublemakers. Troublemakers distract from the work of God and come against the kingdom of God. We find troublemakers like Tobias and Sanballat in the book of Nehemiah, beginning in verse 4, where Nehemiah's got an assignment from God to rebuild the wall. And these individuals come to distract, to tease, to torment a work of God or the assignment of God. They have no intention to help. They have no intentions to be a part of it. They have no intentions to be a solution. They only come to make trouble. So I told you that peace means a wholeness. So peacemakers bring wholeness. Troublemakers don't make wholeness, they poke holes. They poke holes in people with their words. They bring strife and contention wherever they go. These are individuals that do not build up the kingdom, but they try to make trouble for the kingdom of God. So let me ask this question. If being a peacemaker blesses God, then how does God respond, or what does he think about troublemakers? You know what? Proverbs 6 tells us. Let's read it. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste or run into evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord amongst brothers. The Message version quotes verse 19 as a troublemaker in the family. If you are unaware, gossip is sin, slander and gossip is witchcraft, and if you are participating in it, you are in sin. Listen to your pastor this morning. God will not bless gossip. I want to set the foundation of what's going on. When you gossip and you slander, what is gossip and slander? It's talking about people in a way that does not honor them and bless them to other people. And when you do that, what you are doing is you are bringing witchcraft. You are giving witchcraft permission to have free reign in your life. Just hold on a second. If you let someone come into your house and gossip, it'd be like allowing someone to come in your house, draw a pentagram on the floor, start killing birds, and start practicing witchcraft. No, but for real, for a second, if you're all just around, holiday dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, you're eating, all of a sudden someone's in the corner doing some witchcraft seances, how would you respond if that was going on in your house? Don't lie, sister, I know what you would do. You would get the broom and they would fly out on it. No, that's insane. You're like, no, there's no one even come into my house and do that. That's ridiculous. No, that is exactly what's going on when you bring gossip in your house. That you are bringing witchcraft into your home. And gossip and slander is not only witchcraft, but you need to hear this, it hurts people. No, peacemakers help people. Troublemakers, gossipers hurt people. Are you a follower of Christ that heals people, or are you a follower of Christ that hurts people? There's so much at stake. You understand last week how many were ministered to by that word of the spirit of religion and God? Do you understand that spirit of religion is just swarming with troublemakers? And how many people or how many of you have been hurt in church or hurt by religious people? It's the same spirit as the gossiper. How wild is it that anytime we talk about abomination in church, we only want to talk about homosexuality, but Proverbs 6 tells us that gossip's an abomination. The seventh, gossip, slander, troublemakers, is an abomination according to Scripture. Guys, this is a big deal. And I want you to understand the severity of what's going on. Because I truly believe that not a lot of people realize that the enemy is using them for witchcraft. But the thing is, it's your lack of self-control and awareness makes you a conduit for wickedness. And today is a day that I think many people are gonna get free of it once you become aware of it. Rebellion is witchcraft. First Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. This is number three, the third thing that imitates peacemaking is witchcraft. Witchcraft is the control of the will of men through demonic association. This is so important. Witchcraft is the control of men through demonic association. So how do you stop this witchcraft, this gossip from beginning to take place? Matthew 18 tells us that when we have aught with our brother, that we're supposed to go to our brother. Scripture doesn't say that we're supposed to go to four other people about our brother. We're supposed to go to our brother. Matthew 18, Jesus gives us clear instructions. You go to your brother and try to make it right. If he doesn't make it right, then you go to church leadership or you go to other spiritual leaders to help bring them correction. Then you go to bring them to the church leadership after that. If they still won't listen to that, then you treat them like a pagan or a tax collector, which basically means this: you still have love for that person, but you can't have relationship with that person. Because that is an unrepentant person that lives in rebellion. Rebellion is witchcraft. Rebellion is what allows it to live inside of us. This is so important that you know this. If you are talking about another person to another person and you haven't gone to them, that is sin and you need to repent. According to scripture, that is sin. And I know this is an exciting teaching and I wish Blessable was more about how to get blessed quick. No, I don't. This is great because this is how we grow. This is how there's life change and life transformation. Now, we have to help one another. So when someone says something stupid, like I really shouldn't say, tell them not to say. But you get so curious. Oh, wow, dude, I'm supposed to say, what is it? No. Help your dumb friend not be dumb. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to welcome the Holy Spirit, not welcome witchcraft. Third thing is, the third imitator is witchcraft. It's the control of people through demonic association. That's what witchcraft is. We see this in the Garden of Eden, that it was Eve's desire to please the Lord. Eve wasn't evil. She desired to please the Lord. But the serpent came, who is crafty, and he deceived her through witchcraft and manipulated her will. This is the third imitation of peace, because what this does is this comes to completely dominate you through witchcraft of control. This is so important because so many people want to think, I joked about the little seances, that's what we think witchcraft is. Witchcraft is really the control of people through demonic association. And most people don't even realize when it's happening. I had a Tuesday Q&A and someone asked me a question. A couple weeks ago, I heard the Lord in my office say, pray for the president. So we prayed for the president when I was teaching on mercy. And some troublemaker on social media asked the question and said, how come you didn't pray for Trump and Biden? Well, the answer is, because God told me in my office to pray for President Trump. And so we were praying for President Trump, and I read that question. I was trying to think about, how should I answer this question? And as I was reading that question, I got a rush of anxiety. And I said, oh, I feel witchcraft. So I responded, I feel witchcraft on your question. The question's purpose was to manipulate me. Oh, I better, should I pray for Mother Teresa too? Who else should I, how do I please you? Tell me what to do, I work for you. Please like me. A lot of pastors would say, there's the door. I don't want to say there's the door. I want to say, here's the altar. Come repent. The purpose of it is to control you. I got that rush of anxiety. As soon as I read it, I was like, oh, I know this Jezebel spirit. See, a lot of people let anxiety freak them out. Oh, I got this anxiety. I don't know what to do. No. The anxiety tells on the spirit. I don't like this. Well, oh, I know what's going on. I smell you a mile away. You reek, Jezebel. Your witchcraft control and manipulation and intimidation. I don't serve you. I don't bow to you. I won't placate to you. I am a peacemaker. I don't respond to your drum of witchcraft. See, watch this. I wrote about this in my Jezebel book 7 years ago. Peace at any cost is spiritual terrorism. So I will give you demands. This is why it's an imitation of peacemaking. And I tell you, there will only be peace if you meet my demands. That's witchcraft. That's why Portland's burning. We will burn down the city if you don't reach our demands. We will make your life miserable if you don't reach our demands. It's not just in Portland, it's all over the country. You owe us. You better do what we tell you to do. You better be afraid of us, or we will cancel you. We will ruin you. We will destroy you. We'll ruin your job. We'll ruin your reputation. We will make you pay if we don't get our way. And for the few people that are upset in the room, how does that glorify God? Begin to list the scriptures that how that blesses God. That's not peace. It's witchcraft. And it's spiritual terrorism. And it terrorizes the people of God. See, witchcraft will try to use the Bible to hurt you. Cool. The Bible doesn't hurt you. The Bible heals you. Now, don't get me wrong, it will cut my flesh, but it will not pierce my heart. It will help me get right. It will help me be whole. It will help me live pure. It will let me reflect holiness. But watch, the Word of God does not hurt. The Word of God heals. The sword of the Spirit is not meant for people. It's meant for principalities. Peter grabbed his sword and tried to use it on man. Jesus took his ear and he put it back. He said, you're using the sword wrong. Witchcraft is fake peace that only comes from complete domination. And it's a foul spirit that we need understanding on. Romans 12:18. As possible as it depends on you, live in peace with all men. As far as it depends on you, here's what scripture is saying. You bring the peace. You don't bow to witchcraft. You are not being a good Christian placating to witchcraft. This is important. When the Pharisees, we talked about this last week, would come in with that Jezebel spirit and their witchcraft to intimidate Jesus, to try to hurt Jesus, to attack Jesus, he did not bow to them. But he responded by being a peacemaker. So how do you tell the difference between peacemakers, peacekeepers, troublemakers, and witchcraft? I'm glad you asked. Philippians 2:8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. This is so important, Mercy Culture. Humility makes peace. The greatest sin is pride. Where does the Bible say that? Pride is what keeps you from repenting of everything. Satan fell from heaven because of pride. The Bible says that God opposes the proud. That word opposes means the point of the spear. You are an enemy of God when you're walking in pride. Pride is the enemy of God. Here's what Jesus said. He said, he came humbly, even to the point of death. Humility is how you see, how you identify true peace. Humility is how you bring peace. Humility is how you walk in healing. Humility is how you walk in wholeness. Peacemakers bless God. And an invitation as sons and daughters to live in his peace is how God blesses you. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus is the peacemaker. Colossians 1:22, it says, and through him he reconciled himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Watch this. God is seen reflected in his children that are also like him peacemakers. And then he recognizes them as children of God. Ephesians 2:12 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh divided wall of hostility." Verse 19 says this, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." This is what scripture is telling us. That when we become peacemakers and walk in the same DNA as our Heavenly Father, he calls us sons and daughters. And what he does is he invites us into his peace when we walk in his peace. The greatest peace you will ever find is your identity as a son and daughter. This is how you have peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's look back at our story, the context of Mark chapter 5. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. Self, if I could only get into the presence of Jesus and touch him, I'll be healed. If I could only get into the presence of Jesus and touch him, I will be healed. If I could only get into the presence of Jesus and touch him, I will be healed. Her strategy in life, according to this scripture, was to go around and try to find other things, physicians, medicines, things in life to bring her peace. The Bible said that she had an issue of blood, or she had issues. And because of her issues, she had no peace. So she did everything in her power to find peace in her own ability. Isn't this what we do in life? Maybe things will bring me peace. Maybe this relationship will bring me peace. Maybe that relationship will bring me peace. So maybe fame will bring me peace. Maybe social status will bring me peace. Or maybe when I have retirement, that will bring me peace. And we tell ourselves all these things, and we're looking for all these things to find peace in. And at the end of the day, the scripture says that everything that she tried to make her whole only made her worse. As I was reading this text at the 9 o'clock service, as I was reading the text about to preach, I heard the Holy Spirit say, many people are looking to doctors to find peace, and it's not there. You're not gonna find peace in your medicine. You're not gonna find peace in your money. You're not gonna find peace through relationships. The only place you can find peace is the presence of God. She said this, she said, if I can only get into his presence and touch him. And here's the thing is, when you get into the presence of God, the healer heals when you ask him to or not. I love what Jesus said. He said, who touched me? Worship team, come and join me. He said, who touched me? He felt the power go out of him. No one asked permission. I love this, because when you're in the presence of God, you don't need a prophetic word. When you're in the presence of God, you don't need anybody to lay hands on you and pray over you. When you're in the presence of God, the healer, the peacemaker, is the only thing you need to make you whole. She found the peacemaker. She found the Prince of Peace. She tried to do it in her own strength. She needed healing. See, when your peace is gone, the Prince of Peace is available to you. Everything you need is found in the presence of God. I love this. Mark 5:34 says this. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith, he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. This is the only time in the entire Bible Jesus called a woman his daughter. Now we know by the text that she had an issue for over 12 years. So if she began womanhood at 12 years old, that would put her at 24. So there's a good chance that this woman is anywhere between 24 to older than Jesus. We know Jesus started his ministry at 30, so he's somewhere between 30 and 33 when he laid his life down on the cross. So Jesus is in his 30s. This woman is in her mid to late 20s to upper 30s. She's not aged to be his daughter. What I love about the Holy Spirit is he knows what to say even when we don't know what we need to hear. There was something that was off in her. And she looked in all the wrong places to try to find peace until she finally said, I just need to get into the peacemaker's presence. She touched him. Jesus felt the power go out. And he said, who touched me? His disciples laughed at him and said, what do you mean touch you? People are all around you. He said, no. Someone was just intimate with me. See, don't you understand that every time you get into his presence, every time you're in a daily encounter, he feels you touch him? You know what? So many people, the enemy talks you out of daily encounters because you don't feel anything. It's not about you feeling something. It's about him feeling you. And even when it wasn't what you thought it was going to be, and even when Danny's not singing out an eye, even when there's not all these people around you, but you're just in your quiet place all by yourself, he feels you touch him. And he called her daughter. He was the only woman in the Bible he called daughter. Because this woman didn't have peace because she didn't know her identity. And he said, you're mine. I don't care that you have issues. I don't care that you have insecurities. I don't care what shame and pain that you're feeling right now. You're mine. And he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. He said, enter. You've been made whole. You've been given peace. And then he said this, I love it. He said, go in peace. And a beautiful thing about God's word is it transcends the English language. If you begin to study this out in the Greek, he wasn't sending her away, telling her to go. He actually said, not go in peace, but go into peace. What he was doing is identifying her as a daughter. And he said, now that you are whole with the identity of sonship, now I'm inviting you to take this peace you just encountered in my presence and not go from it, but go into it. She touched him. And he didn't send her away. He invited her to an even more intimate place. Don't go from my presence. Live in my presence. That's why scripture says in him, we live, we move, and we have our being. When we encounter the peacemaker, and he heals us and makes us whole. He invites us into his peace. You know what I'm telling you, church, that you never leave it. It never leaves you because you dwell in it. You abide in it. You live in it. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? The peacemakers bless God. He blesses you by inviting sons and daughters into his perfect peace. There's an invitation to you today to come into his perfect peace. right where you're at, just breathe in the presence of God. Just breathe in the presence of God. Breathe in the presence of God. Some of you need the peace of God. Some of you need the healing of God. You need the wholeness of God. The holiness of God. Some of you, the issues in life have taken your peace. And this morning, in the presence of God, you're going to get it back. But you're not going to visit peace. You're going to enter into His peace. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come with your presence. Come with your power. Come make us whole. Come make us whole. Come make us whole. Come make us whole. Don't you understand that a woman with issue of blood would not be allowed to be around a man because she was unclean? She wasn't able to come into the presence of God. They would call her unclean, or they would call her wicked or sinful because of her state. They would have accused her of being in sin, and that's why she couldn't come around it. And Jesus came. This is so important you understand that she came to Him bleeding. She came to Him with issue. She came to Him broken. And when she came to Him, she wasn't rejected. She was brought into a deeper place of intimacy with Him. And I believe the Lord is inviting you today into a deeper place of intimacy. He doesn't care about your brokenness. He doesn't care about your sickness. He doesn't care about your issues. He doesn't care about your sin. That is not what is keeping Him from you. He's here with His love. He's here with His peace. He's here with His healing. He's here with His wholeness, and He's here for you today. If you're here today and you say, I need peace, my peace has been taken from me and I need it back, just stand to your feet and lift your hands all over this place. This morning, if you say, Landon, I haven't been a peacemaker. I haven't been a peacemaker. I haven't been blessing God as a peacemaker. My life hasn't blessed God. This whole series has been about blessing God. I haven't blessed God by being a peacemaker. Maybe today you've been a peacekeeper. Maybe today you've been a troublemaker. Maybe today, aware or unaware, you've allowed witchcraft in your life. And today you're like, no. Lord, I'm going to bless you by being a peacemaker. I was in my office this week and I had a rough conversation with the Lord. And I had to ask Him, Lord, am I blessing you in this area? I know other beatitudes. I'm on point. I've prioritized that. But I don't know if I've prioritized peacemaking. I don't know if that's been a desire in my heart. But Lord, I ask you to help me become a peacemaker like you. And if you're in here today and you say, I need to become a peacemaker, that's not been a part of my spiritual disposition or my makeup, then if that's you, I want you to come down to this altar right now. I feel like the Lord just wants to meet you. If you say, I want to be anointed to be a peacemaker, I need this in my life. Lord, I want to bless you by being a peacemaker. Bless the Lord. Peacemakers, bless the Lord. Peacemakers, bless the Lord. If you're at this altar right now, I want you to ask the Lord to teach you how to be a peacemaker right now. If you're at this altar, ask Him to teach you. Lord, would you show me how to be a peacemaker? And if you've been standing on your feet because you say, I need the peace of God, lift your hands high right now and let His presence begin to fall in your life. Father, I pray right now that this congregation would bless you. I pray right now that we would be peacemakers that reflect you. Lord, I pray right now, Father, that we would live in your peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that we would walk with you and talk with you and live with you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would do miracles in our lives this morning. I pray despite everything we're going through, I pray that we would live in your peace.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.